Okay, welcome back, hour number two. And we'll start this off with a news story after we bring on our special guest. First of all, is that brilliant scientist there? Are you there, young lady?
I'm here.
All right. Well, can't do it without you. Okay, here's the story. As soon as I bring on Nurse Ann. Nurse Ann has been with us for several years and has contributed magnificently to our real inside knowledge on what's happening in our country's hospitals and hospitals all over the Western world and even around the world for that matter. Our hospitals are in trouble on several fronts. One of the fronts is that the simple plain truth is our hospitals have death protocols for human beings and they are following them. Our hospitals are killing people, period. You know that if you've been listening to us for any length of time at all. Nurse Ann knows it because she's right in the midst of it. No, she's not killing people, but she knows damn well what goes on with these protocols. And she's back with us tonight to talk about a lot of things. I have one story I want to lead with as soon as we bring Nurse Ann on. Are you there?
Hello, Jeff and Erica. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I'll speak for Erica. We're good. Yeah. The story that was concerning but is no surprise to you and really should not be a surprise to any of you listening. It's headlined, 33 nurses died suddenly in the U.S. just this past week. So as we have been trying to say, the all-cause mortality rates are skyrocketing. And I say that because doctors on death certificates have a whole basket full of labels that they can paste on the death certificate to explain, allegedly, why this individual died. And very few of those explanations have anything to do with the bioweapon injections. You have kidney failure, heart failure, you know the game. So the truth is difficult to find. And that's where Nurse Ann comes in so heroically. So are you seeing nurses die? Are you aware of that at your hospital? I'll just leave it up to you. Go ahead.
Well, what's happening is we're seeing nurses get very sick. And nurses who would have been there for a number of years on staff are either coming back part-time because they don't have the energy to sustain and continue working full-time hours, or they'll end up leaving completely due to the impending illness that has taken over.
Right.
And that's primarily what, and it's a multitude of issues that happens with the nurses, and that. The biggest problem we're having is that it's not just one type of illness that's afflicting them. It's a multitude of stuff.
Okay. Now, that will tie into what I want to introduce next. And what I want to say is the ages of these nurses shows a trend. I won't try to fill out and flesh out the trend, but let me just read the ages of some of these 33 nurses who died suddenly in the past week. Now, this will mean something, I think, to Nurse Ann. Stephanie, 57. Kelly, 55. Kathy, 64. Cynthia, 64. Joyce, 63. Emmy, 48. Christine, 64. Deborah, 60. Suzanne, 73. Linda, 67. Cynthia, 62. And I'll stop there. Now, what would you take from that and make of it? This is interesting. Now, these nurses are being shed upon right and left 24 hours a day whenever they're at work, nonstop. And if you remember, what is it? Erica, 2 years ago when they gave the ultimatum to all professional healthcare workers in America, you have to get the shot or you have to get out. Wasn't it 2 years ago? Two and a half?
Yeah.
All right. And so basically, all of our professional healthcare workers, two and a half years ago, had to make a decision. One third said, go to hell, I'm out of here. And they left. Two thirds said, okay, and took the shot or shots. So now we have nurses in their 60s dying like flies. This is a couple of years after they took the shots. I'm generalizing here, but I've got it pretty close. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, actually, Jeff, you're correct in what you say, in that the COVID crisis that came mandated nurses to take the shots. And the nurses who took them, we're now starting to see the end results of that.
Uh-huh.
The nurses who left the career tried to recreate themselves or reinvent themselves and do a different career altogether. And that's including brand new nurses that were coming out of college with a nursing degree and student loans and decided not to go into the profession. During COVID, a lot of young nurses actually got pretty terrified about the very idea of staying in nursing. So some of them actually, they were in training and they were at the hospitals at the time, actually decided to drop nursing altogether and change the whole course of their careers for some of those nurses. But
so let me add this real quick, and I think it'll just expedite what you're saying so brilliantly here.
Mm-hmm.
These nurses took the shot two and a half years ago. We have looked at a 2 to 5 year general mortality range of life after injection. So these nurses seem to be falling within that 2 to 5 year range.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct. That would be correct. And so the thing about it is the healthcare system is falling. It's been falling. It's been broken for many, many years prior to COVID, really, if we're all very honest. But COVID was the ultimate game changer. It changed everything. And then what's happening now is the young nurses who saw all of that happening during the COVID years, they got out and tried to change their careers. Or if the ones they did something else. They wanted they didn't want, and some of them just said forget it, and they're stuck with these student loans or otherwise going on for a different degree. Now the ones who left the profession altogether, they never came back to nursing. They never were able to replace those nurses. So now it was an automatic shortage from the get-go. And now we have a twofold problem. We have no more new nurses, like what we do, but there is not to the percentage of the nurses that left the field that were experienced. They left, and they did not come back. So now we're left with whatever nurses it has decided to continue on nursing and was either harassed or mandated into taking the vaccination at the time. Now, during that time, I had been working during the COVID crisis, but the mandates hadn't kicked in just yet. And I was in the thick of it when people were in the ICUs and they were putting them on ventilators and during the time of administering remdesivir, which still continues. And all of this was going on. But I did actually step back and take a break for a little bit when the mandates were starting to be enforced on the nurses. And in the state of New York, there was actually a lawsuit being filed against hospitals. A number of area hospitals had been discussing this issue of mandating nurses to taking a vaccination against their will. So
well, you have the new... Go ahead, please. Go.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
The new, shinier, spiffier version of the bioweapon is being rolled out right now, due out in September, but it's already available in some places. I don't know how they're marketing it. I'm curious to find out. So the new vaccine is now out, and I'm wondering if they may change their their pressure on, on our nurses to take the new one, too. Go ahead.
I think if they do, it'll totally break the field to the point of where patients patients are not going to get any good care. And what'll happen is they'll end up having nursing aides doing the tasks of skilled nurses. Is what'll happen.
And the nursing aides. The nursing aides can come walking right across the border, right?
they're already doing it anyway. They're doing that
so
anyway.
They're plugging these people.
We're getting nurses from all over.
They are. Okay. Wow. This is not good. Not good at all. The general camaraderie and esprit de corps and overall attitude in the hospitals among nurses is what now? How are they holding up?
So,
go ahead.
So there was this meeting called there recently because the hospital I was working in up until August the 10th, the hospital I was working in, they had huge issues with staffing. They couldn't hire the nurses, they trained them, and then they wouldn't stay. Or they were hiring nurses from all different countries. There was language barriers. They didn't have the skill set. They weren't as capable of taking care of the patients as the nurses who were trained here in this country or Australia or within Europe. So we had a huge, multifold problems going on. And then the nurses who were here and they were working and they've been working all these years, they started to do a national study, apparently. Of what currently the nurses are going through and why the nurses are suffering in the job. And apparently it was done by the National Health Crisis Center. And they found out, and these are their numbers, I could confirm a lot of them based on just on my hospital alone, but on their numbers, they're saying 19% of nurses are experiencing mild to severe depression on the job.
Let's call it 20%.
All right. Yeah, 20%. 45% of nurses are basically have no emotional support whatsoever within the system, within the hospitals. That's called management.
Suggesting,
administration.
Right? They have no emotional support, which suggests that they, too, are having problems, like the 20% who admittedly have problems.
Yeah, correct.
So it's even more.
So it's even more than that. And then another 40%, based on these numbers that they ran, are saying other nurses are experiencing serious health issues to some degree. And this is the degree where I was going to talk to you about. They're basically talking about the nurses are getting so run down that they're not having any time for lunch breaks. Not that we ever did, because I can't remember a time where I actually had a time for lunch break. But they're getting run down to the point where it's now having a huge impact on their health. This is what they're saying. However, if you really want to look at it, take that 40% and ask that 40%, were you vaccinated or are you not vaccinated? And I can guarantee you 100% those 40% they're talking about are the ones who were vaccinated. Now, they've come down with respiratory issues. They're calling in more frequently. They get easily exposed to some sort of a virus maybe that's going on in the hospital, like just a regular cold virus. They're sick with that. They bring it home to their families. Their kids are sick. The explosion of different types of cancers have cropped up in among the nursing population. Nurses who never had like the cancer traits or any of that. Nurses are having strokes. they're saying it's because the stress of the job. It has nothing, the job was always stressful. It has nothing to do with the stress of the job. We knew this going in. Any nurse will tell you this.
Sure.
It's not the stress of the job. Yes, the impact of not having enough staff and getting burnt out and all of that, that doesn't help. But they're basically saying that the stress of the job is bringing on all of these strokes. And then they're finding now again with the nurses, they're also having cardiac issues, like irregular heart rhythms. That these are young. I'm not talking old nurses. I'm talking young nurses here. I'm talking nurses from the ages of 25 to 65. It covers the whole gamut of nurses.
Got it. All right, this is not good. Erica, anything you want to jump in here?
Well, yeah, it's not really all that surprising, is it?
No.
It's kind of what we expected, you know, going into this. You know, it was very clear that, you know, the spike was toxic. By the time these nurses all had to conform to these requirements, it was known what was happening to people who received these injections. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Now,
I would agree.
You've been, and Nurse Ann has been with us since 2021, and she's seen a lot. We've seen a lot. You, many of you listening right now, are vax injured. You've seen more than you ever cared to see. You've lost friends. Those of you who aren't vaxxed have lost friends, lost family members, etc. And this is a genocide, and people still will not face up to it. I had a story yesterday, 11-year-old boy, massive heart attack. He was out playing a little soccer. Massive heart attack. No chance of reviving him. Dead. Gone. When the plug is pulled, you can't put it back in. It's done. You're done. There are so many different ways that this is killing people. That's why I mentioned about the basket of cause of death labels that they can stick on, death certificates of these people who are dying, all causes. They can put anything they want on there. So the lie continues. The con job continues. It's all being covered up still. Correct?
Correct. Yeah, it does. There's huge compounding issues with this. The other issue is that when there was an explosion of travel nurses for some time, apparently the government decided to step in and say, hang on a second, we've got to put a cap on how much these travel nurses can make. And so they capped their wages. But the thing about it is the travel nurses are leaving their homes and their families and their children. I know there's a lot of women and men who leave their families from other states to come and work in different states because they can make more money. I mean, a lot of them came from Florida, and they're here for months at a time. And so now they have to end up renting a space in New York or New Jersey or Baltimore, wherever they take the job. And so they're paying duplications of bills, and they're still trying to, they're the sole breadwinner of the household because they're the only ones that can make decent money. The government, apparently hospitals got all upset about the whole ordeal and wanted to put a cap on it. So now there's a cap on the travel nursing industry, and now the trend here now is they're not getting the travel nurses now either, because the money isn't enough of an incentive to bring them there.
And by the way, that money is fairly substantial. I mean, to be honest, travel nurses, the wages are good.
The wages were good, Jeff. They've gone down. Once the government stepped in and they started to put a cap on how much money the travel nurses were going to be taking home, it has changed the whole field.
That's
so
communism. By the way,
there's every single day. I'm not joking you when I say this. I've been off since August the 10th, and every single day, I'm probably getting hit up by 100 different recruiting agencies. Am I interested in going and taking a travel job? That's every day from Monday to Friday. Wow. They cannot find the nurses. The nurses, they can't get the nurses to come to the facilities, and the facilities aren't offering enough money as an incentive for, like, you think about it. I currently have a friend right now who is out in Alaska. She's been out there for months. She left her family in Florida. And while she was there, her husband, or this is, which is rather tragic, her husband, who actually was a nurse himself, had taken the vaccination against her wishes. And while she was out in Alaska, her husband ended up passing away. So now she's out in Alaska on assignment, and she gets the word that he's in the hospital. Apparently he had became septic. He was on a ventilator. He didn't make it. And so she ends up coming back from Alaska, and she has two children, and herself and her husband were helping those two children because they're grown up, but they can't afford to live because they can't afford to buy a house, and they have kids of their own. So she ended up coming back and spending some time at home, but she's back in Alaska again so she can make more money in Alaska to help her family in Florida. Now, you tell me who's making the bigger commitment here.
Got it. The majority of Americans officially now can no longer afford to buy an average home. The American dream is formally, essentially, dead. They can't do it. And now they're in California. I think you may have seen California is going to give up to $150,000 free, no strings attached, to all the invaders who want to buy a home. This is outrageous. Incredible what's going on. The country is being demolished. And I tried to tell people this years ago, 5-6 years ago. What was coming was going to be horrific. It hasn't slowed down. It's gotten worse. And if people can't see it now, they don't want to see it because it's right in your face. Don't even talk about politics and the fraud that is.
Yeah, and then the thing about it is the nurses are becoming the sole providers of the home. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. When I was in my contract, the only way I could be working with this contract was I had to do 48 hours a week. It was all or nothing. That was the contract that it was given to me. So and normally a nurse would work 12 hours a day or 12 hours a night, and 36 hours a week would be a full-time hours. But this, all the contracts now they're doing them are like 48. I even see some of them are pushing the nurses to do 60 hours a week. So now you're in a high acuity area where you're taking care of patients and you're being forced. This is not even an option now. You're being forced to work these horrible long hours where you're taking care of the sickest of the sickest of patients.
Right.
And unfortunately, the nurses are the younger ones that still have a little bit more stamina. They're doing even more hours than that because they're just trying to just make money so they can get ahead and either try and get an apartment or try and get a home. Or they're either trying to get one of the girls recently got married there last month. I mean, these are but they have to put in like over 48 to 60 hours to try and make all these extra things happen for them. So it's a very difficult career. It's a very tiring career. And everybody loses.
And the nurses and
the patients.
Yes, they do. Nurse Anne, if the payment, the wages, are kept or reduced, and the money incentive is not enough to keep the staffing.
They do overtime. What they do is overtime.
Got
that's
it.
What
all
they
right.
Do.
So what's a time and a half kind of thing? Whatever.
Yeah, so they do like time and a half.
Here's the point. If the money incentive isn't there, the people eventually won't be there either. And the whole system is teetering on collapse, is it not?
Yes. Yeah, it has been teetering on collapse for a long time. It has. The biggest problems here are everybody suffers except the people at the head of the organization. Like management is not there for the management is not there for the nurses. There was only one manager in my life, my career, in nearly 30 years of nursing, where she stepped in and came in and she actually helped us out with patient care. That's one manager in my lifetime. That'll never be repeated by any manager again. So the management is failing the nurses. The administration above her are failing all of the nurses as well. And the thing about it is they'll run the ship on bare minimum. They'll do it because the nurses will have there'll be nurses who will have the conscience to want to take care of the patient, but at what price to the nurses? You know, so it's a disastrous situation. And then we have on night shift, we won't necessarily be working with the doctors all the time. We'll have a nurse practitioner. So you have a nurse practitioner now giving you orders that are for a patient to do certain things for patients that a more well-educated, well-rounded, more experienced nurse might be questioning these orders. And the thing, and I've been in this boat, so I can speak to it. And I'll actually say, are you sure that's something you want to do? Have you seen this particular lab study? So, like, we have now nurse practitioners who are working with us that may not know as much as the actual nurses know. And they're prescribing orders and medications for these patients. So the system is very fragmented. It's very broken. I don't know how we fix it because I think we've gone past the point of fixing it.
Let's for our listeners, explain the difference between a nurse and a nurse practitioner, and why can the NP, the nurse practitioner, write prescriptions? What's the difference?
So basically, the registered nurse, she's basically that person who's doing all patient care, bedside care, basically. She's basically following orders. She's the soldier in the trenches, let's put it that way. She's been told to do all of the tests that are required, like monitor the patient's EKG, make sure the patient has their medications, make sure the patient's eating, make sure the patient's trying to get physical therapy done, make sure the patient's respiratory treatments are being done, make sure you're monitoring the patient's ventilator settings and along with respiratory therapy. And all of that, make sure that all of the patient's basic needs and medical needs are met. That's what a registered nurse would do.
Got it.
Now, a nurse practitioner is a nurse who has an advanced clinical education and training, which would be where she would have gone and she probably completed her master's and done a number of further medical studies and courses and things like that. And she will now be allowed, they used to have it where she would study under a physician. And then she could write orders, but the physician would oversee her orders. Well, that's not even the case anymore. The nurse practitioners now can actually write their orders, give orders, and do whatever we need to do. Mm-hmm. And like there's many times when I'll give you a scenario where there's patients and I'll go in and their color looks really bad, like they're kind of kind of gray color, and they're having a difficult time breathing, automatically I'm taking oxygen. Okay, so you're putting oxygen on the patients right away. You're checking their saturations. Their saturations probably are absolutely in the toilet, like probably in the 70s or something like that. Their fingers are cold. I mean, it's critical. It's absolutely critical. So, you know, we're calling. I know what needs to be done. So the patient, so I'll call the doctors up because I, or the nurse practitioner up because I need to get the order from her to do it. So we'll be running a bunch of labs to see where that person's, you know, oxygen saturation is in the blood, and are they going to need to be on a BiPAP versus a ventilator, right? And they'll be doing, they'll do a chest X-ray to see if there's something that's compromising their airway or their lungs. So, like, I'll know what needs to be done, but my hands are tied as a registered nurse. That's, I mean, I have to wait for the orders. Like, you got, and I can, and like, when I find people like that, that automatically to me is, and that's an emergency all the way. So, I'll call it out right up. It's an emergency. I want them up here right away. A younger nurse might hesitate and trying to figure it out for herself. And waste time. And when I say waste time, it's time is of the essence when you see somebody like that. You have to call. You have to get all hands on deck. You got to get them in the room, and you got to move quick. Younger nurses coming out of the schools don't always act that way because they don't know what they don't know.
Understood. Now, well stated. Yeah, it must be. People don't understand. It's the pressure you're under is hellacious.
It's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. And one of the bigger other problems, they didn't do it in that study, or they didn't address it certainly, is the level of fatigue that nurses are going through now is horrific. They're to the point of total exhaustion. And I know I can speak to this because I did the 48 hours a week, and I came home and all I did was sleep, and I got up and I went to work. Sleep and went to work. And that was my life. For 16 weeks I did that.
Well,
and it was
terrible. You're terrible. Headed toward a physical breakdown, if not an emotional breakdown first. You can't do that. It's not human. It's not possible.
No.
And yet you did it. Because you're so dedicated. Let me ask you a question. Tell it like it is. How many nurses, and I'm not knocking anybody here, I don't do that. I'm just asking, how many other nurses would you say are as experienced, intelligent, and dedicated as you are? Now, don't hold back. If there are lots of them, tell me. If they're not, tell me. I'm just curious, because I don't think there are as many as, there are just not many nurse Anns out there. That's my take.
I would say, I'll be honest, I would say the experience isn't there anymore. You'll see a lot of new nurses. Even old nurses that have gone into the field that are starting their career sometimes, but they're still new. So they haven't been in it very long. So there was nights when I was on the floor, I'm going to say something that's probably pretty frightening, but there was nights on the floor where I worked where there was four other nurses with me on the floor, and them four nurses of experience combined equaled 8 years versus my 28.
My. All right.
I'm working with.
Yeah. It's another burden you have to carry, inexperience. It's not their fault. Doesn't matter. Are we heading toward a time when symptoms will be fed into a computer? It's already happening, but I mean, will it become even more pronounced? Where symptoms, patient symptom profile, fed into a computer, AI spits back a protocol to several protocols that might be followed, and other suggestions. Are we getting closer to AI interfacing on a major scale?
From the nursing standpoint, I don't know. But I know from surgery, they're already doing it. They've got robotics doing surgery.
Right,
that I can tell you right off the bat. And many, many years ago, I worked in a hospital, I believe it was in New Jersey, and they had, from the pharmacy, they had a robot called Rex, who used to actually go from the pharmacy to all the floors delivering all the meds.
Wow.
So that was long before AI ever, long before all of this AI discussion.
Understood, but, understood.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Erica?
They have the capabilities of certain things, but I don't know if they have... Can they replace the bedside nurse? I don't know. I probably, but I don't know.
I don't know either. Erica, what are you hearing in terms of monitoring paramedic responses to accidents, falls, problems? Is there a change in the texture? Erica monitors EMT services, just to get a feel for what's going on in her area. What's going on?
I would say it's busier, but that could be for a couple different reasons. I mean, we have a tourist season here, so there could be just, you know, a bigger population present. But I would say the falls aren't as much anymore. We're seeing more or hearing more about possible heart attacks, things like... people having apparent heart attacks on the beach,
mm-hmm.
Motorists pulled over and unresponsive, seizures.
And that's when you can get description material, because a lot of times they just say medical emergency.
Yeah, a lot of them are emergency. Just vague. Vague. But I'm not hearing as many falls. It seems to have changed to things like heart attacks, possible strokes, unresponsive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's all true. That's all the case. It's always that. Erica, it hasn't changed. It's always the same MO. It's always strokes. It's always they can't breathe. And usually when they can't breathe, one of two issues. It can be respiratory related or it can be cardiac related. And sometimes it can be both. And then the falls, they're used to say the falls were the reason that patients were brought into the hospitals, and that is true. But the cause of the fall, when I read the doctor's notes, they usually say that it's probably because they threw a blood clot, mm-hmm. or they found a hematoma somewhere in the cardiac, in the heart, the aorta, the big one now, or they'll also find them in the brain. So that's one of the things. And then they'll start also finding tumors. You'll see people, the result, it'll be a fall. They'll come in, they'll work them up for strokes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. And then they'll also find that they also have a huge tumor in the brain, and that's
so. Is this a glioblastoma? Is this a malignant brain tumor?
They're all over the map, and there's glioblastoma, and there's more. But the kicker is, and off late we've found that when it's in the brain, that's the secondary site, usually. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere else first, so it's already in the system already. So when they're doing their workups, they may have it in normally in the lungs. We'll find it always in the lungs. Sometimes we'll see in there. You'll see it in in the GI system. The GI system has been under attack for a long time, but if you find it in the brain, it's usually a secondary site. The liver is under attack, pancreas is under attack, everything. I can't even begin to tell you, there isn't an organ in the body that's not under attack at this point.
I'm going to hold that right there. There is not an organ or organ system in the body that is not under attack right now. Finish that sentence. Attack by what? Just for fun.
Well, a at this point,
the bioweapon injections, primarily.
I believe it's the vaccines that has been the culprits.
Yeah, well, I call them bioweapons, so forgive me, but
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I truly believe we had a population that was relatively healthy. Before, if you look back 5 years, you could say somebody's health was bad because, well, they didn't eat right, or they overate, or they didn't do any exercise, and or maybe they had some genetic predisposition to diabetes or something like that, or some heart disease. We've never seen what we are seeing now. This is the sickest of the sickest population we've ever seen.
How honest are the doctors in talking with you about what's going on? Do any of them honestly say or state that this is a mass? It's a massacre from the injections. Will they even talk about it? I say they won't.
No, I've never heard the doctors. There was only one doctor, and he left the facility long ago. There was only one doctor who ever mentioned it. But no, the doctors won't say it. The nurses will, though. The nurses who are brave enough to stand up, they'll say it. And they speak amongst themselves. I mean, the nurses who I worked with last year, I said, you guys, you got to listen to Rent's radio station. You got to listen to what they have to say. And I had it on in the background, just for them to hear some of the, yourself and Erica, reading some of the stories. And one of the girls was like, I'm just terrified. I'm just terrified of what's going to happen to my life. She's young. She's not married yet. She goes, I want to get married. I want to have kids. What does this all mean? And, I mean, I didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing to kind of like enlighten her and make her think. But I think you need to know. I think you need to know what you're up against.
If you don't know your enemy, you don't have a chance. You have to know what you're up against. You're right. How about the sludge blood, the thickened blood of the vaxxed?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, listen, we can't. Most of the time, we have people now who are, when you would get to draw blood, you can't do it on the people who have had any more than 5 or 6 vaxxed bioweapons put in them already. So you usually are end up basically saying we need a line. We need like a PIC line, or we'll need a central line in order to get access for blood draws, because we're drawing blood every morning at 4 a.m. on all of our patients. And in order to do that, you're going to have some form of an access line. The patients who have cancer, they already have like a port typically. So we'll end up accessing their port and using that to draw our blood work, and also to get to give them hydration as well. So, yeah, the sludge blood is still very much there. It's still the dark, thick blood. Sometimes you'll poke the patient sometimes to try and get something, and it'll bleed for a little bit, and then it'll stop. That's it. The vein blows, so you don't get any more blood.
Oh,
and that's the way it's been. It's been an ongoing problem all along.
Okay, Erica, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Anything you want to add here? The blood is an interesting. We don't talk about it much, not like we used to, but it's still very much there, very much a problem. And Nurse Ann, if you've got sludge blood, your heart is working double time, triple time, trying to push this stuff around through your entire physiological circulatory system, and it can't do it. And I think a lot of heart attacks may be a direct result of that. Just overload, and the heart gives up. Is that true?
That's true. And the brain, too. The blood to the brain, too. It's the same thing. It contributes hugely towards that. That's why they end up putting them on the anticoagulation, the heparin,
right,
in the hospital.
Right.
That'll help a little bit, but it takes a while for it to, like, you should see, we're going up levels on our heparin drips like they've never before. You know, you shouldn't have, and then you have to taper them down. You have to get them to a therapeutic level so you can actually take them off that drip and put them on a pill form of an anticoagulation. So, yeah, the blood is the biggest issue. It's a continuous problem with every patient. It's not just one patient. It's every patient.
Got it. Okay. All this news is very difficult for people. And I don't know. It's presented so very well by you, and we're very grateful for everything you've done. And do you run into many other Irish nurses?
Sadly, no. No. I wish. No. I only once in my lifetime working in the U.S. did I run into an Irish nurse. But that's it. It's rare. They tend to either stay in Ireland, or they go to work in London, or they immigrate to Australia. That's where they tend to go.
All right. Well, here's a little here's a little treat for you, and a thanks. There's Irish in me, and there's some Irish in Erica as well. So, and for all of our Irish friends out there, this is from Chromosome 7.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine, shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead, as dead I well may be, ye'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall hear, though soft you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. I'll sleep in peace until you come to me.
All right, that's a little thank you.
Wow. Well, how do I feel like I should be in an Irish pub somewhere tonight?
You deserve it. That would be nice. Well, listen, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was, by the way, that was voted around the world by people as the greatest version ever sung of that wonderful song, Mario Lanza.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We thank you. We thank you very much.
Have a good night, you guys.
Yeah, okay. You too. Stay safe.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's hard to believe she's been here since 2021.
Yeah. Time rolls along.
Well, especially when you're having as much fun as we are.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's a pretty interesting portrait of what's going on in the hospitals. And I would only urge all of you one more time, please think about this now. You never know when fate might send you off on a visit to a hospital ER. You want to have something in your wallet or someone that can make damn sure they don't give you any of these shots. You need an advocate. The best advocate is yourself, but put it in writing. If you ever have to go in, it'll be in your wallet. You can just say, it's in my wallet. Whatever. But take care of yourself. Don't let them exercise their protocols on you, because they'll end up killing you in many cases. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true.
Yeah, and, you know, the organ harvesting thing is a part of this, too. So even if you're borderline, you know, if there's an organ they need...
All true.
You may have a, you know, not so positive outcome.
It's a ghoulish thing that's going on. And the blackest irony is the simple fact that 80% of the organs are being taken from people who have been thoroughly injected. And those organs are compromised and probably producing spike. It's that simple. It's true. Nothing we can do about it. Same with blood donations. For God's sakes, don't get blood unless, I don't know, if you're unconscious and they give it to you, I don't know. But if you have a choice, no. We recommend against it. The blood is not being screened appropriately or positively enough. It just isn't.
No.
All right, young lady, have a good night. Thank you, as always.
Okay.
Great job.
You too. Yeah. Have a good weekend, everyone.
All right. Okay, we'll pause and come back.